Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This week in Chicago history now with Anna DeVlantis. And this week in 2014, we were talking about Mexican drug cartels in Chicago, weren't we, Anna?
We definitely were, Bob. Again, good morning to you. So this week, El Chapo in 2014, the world's most wanted drug kingpin, was captured in Mexico. And it was two Chicago gang members who were responsible for putting him away. So this week in Chicago history, that was all the talk. Who were these gang members? Pedro Margarito Flores, were raised in Little Village, rose up the ranks of a local street gang and became pretty powerful within the Sinaloa cartel. They were allegedly moving tons of cocaine right through the Chicago area every month, making the city one of the most one of the cartel's most important U.S. hubs. El Chapo Guzman had been on the run from authorities for 20 years until the brothers turned witness for the feds. And so they spilled these cartel secrets. They tipped off the feds about these tractor trailers full of drugs coming into the area. They wore wires and recorded direct conversations with El Chapo, as you recall, you know, allowing the feds to connect the dots all the way to the top. The brothers their parents were living in Mexico, so they lived with an older brother, and they said it was when their brother got arrested for selling drugs and went to prison that everything changed for them. They decided they wanted to move higher in the cartel. And one of the brothers gave an interview with an international podcast and told how they got connected with the notorious drug lord El Chapo.
El Chapo is still in prison in Colorado. What happened to those guys, Anna?
You know, it's interesting. We've heard so little about them because they're in the witness protection program. So it's even interesting that they gave that interview. No one really knows where they are, and I think they want it to stay that way. But they did serve several years in prison for drug trafficking and have been since released since then. So.
Back in March of 1994, it was March the 4th, that something very strange happened. Michael Jordan got some big-time criticism nationally. Tell us about this.
It's interesting. I don't know how you felt when Michael Jordan announced, I'm going to go pursue baseball. I think everybody had an opinion about this. And the world of basketball was already shaken, and we loved our Bulls. But here he was playing baseball. A lot of doubters at the time, Bob, as you might recall. And recall this. Sports Illustrated, the outlet that had given almost hero worship coverage to Jordan over the years, even then, sold a lot of magazines off his image, but now decided to go completely negative on MJ and his whole foray into baseball. What was he doing? The headline that turned off Michael Jordan and caused him to freeze out Sports Illustrated happened this week, back in 1994. Bag it, Michael. Jordan and the White Sox are embarrassing baseball. Accompanied by a front page close-up photo of Jordan missing the ball. Then you flip through to the article and it just got worse. The writer said it was delusional for MJ to even pursue baseball. I mean, it was so harsh. And Jordan was deeply offended, viewing it as just unfair attack. It was disrespectful. And he cut off all communications with Sports Illustrated. From that point forward, he refused to speak with them ever. Now, Steve Wolf, if you saw The Last Dance, the writer of that interview, did have regret, and he said that they were wrong in their approach, you know, in retrospect. And he was kind of horrified, he said, when he saw the cover, that it was way over the top. We pulled a clip from that interview with Steve Wolf, the writer, and also it includes a clip from Michael on how he felt.
Sure, sold a lot of magazines with that, though.
Yeah, they did over the years, and that one in particular, I'm sure, attracted a lot of attention. But, you know, the Jordan freeze-out was serious, Bob. You think about it, that Sports Illustrated kind of sucked to be them in 1996, 97, 98, the Bulls championship runs, everything Jordan did, his retirement announcement, and he did not grant a single interview to Sports Illustrated since.
Can't blame him. A lot of Olympic hockey talk lately, and this week in 1980, we had a Chicago connection to the Miracle on Ice that year, didn't we?
Yeah. Cool to see the U.S. men win gold in hockey this year, but that was pretty special. But nothing compares to what happened this week, 1980, the Miracle on Ice, one of the greatest sports stories probably of all time. And a Chicago hockey player was central to that team's success. Just legendary how the scrappy American college hockey players got together and defeated the four-time gold medal winning Russian team. Just the stuff of legends. And it was a gritty defenseman named Jack O'Callaghan who was instrumental to that. He was not a professional. That was a requirement at the time, as you recall. O'Callaghan was drafted by the Blackhawks shortly after winning gold in Lake Placid and then stayed in Chicago. He worked as a trader on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, became involved in kids hockey, and really tried to help grow the sport in the Chicago area. He reflected on that gold medal win years later and said it was not only a miracle on ice, but their win had a miraculous effect on America. And the country was going through both national and international strife. Here's Jack O'Callaghan.
Jack O'Callaghan. I forgot about him, Anna.
Yeah, kind of a really, really cool story, you know, and to think that he was part of that team and then he stayed in Chicago after. Just, you know, just really awesome. Think back to that time.
This was the week that Chance the Rapper won a Grammy back in 2017. Anna?
Yeah, he no doubt remembers this month pretty well, Bob. Pretty huge for Chance the Rapper, Chicago-born Southside kid. Won Best New Artist at the Grammys, Best Rap Album, Best Rap Performance, and he really just had arrived in the music world all of a sudden, and he did it his way. This is so interesting. He wouldn't have won a single Grammy had the Grammy board not changed the rules that year in order to allow his music to be considered, Bob. Before 2016, the Recording Academy required albums to be commercially released or physical media like a CD or like a paid digital download to be considered for a Grammy. And Chance's 2016 mixtape Coloring Book was released exclusively through Apple Music, streaming for free. That's how he wanted to do it. His original debut mixtape called 10 Day also did. He recorded it and released it that way. By the way, recorded that during a 10-day suspension from school at Jones Prep High School, so pretty productive for a 10-day suspension to record his debut album. But then he released his second mixtape the same way. That one didn't qualify because of the rules. The next year, everything changed. We pulled a clip of Chance the Rapper sitting down with Katie Couric. He's now a big national TV star, and so here he is talking about his big Grammy wins, and he explained how he has a different take on how he handles the music business.
Yeah, he's got his head screwed on right, doesn't he?
He does. You know, and he's giving back all that money to Chicago public schools. He doesn't forget where he comes from. I mean, it's really, he's pretty impressive how he's carved his own path and is truly, seems pretty grounded when you hear him talk.
And I love that he did that interview at Harold's Chicken Shack in Chicago. Perfect,
right?
This week in 2009, Captain Sirius had a big night, didn't he?
February 28th, 2009, Bob, Hawks legend Jonathan Toews, then a 20-year-old player in his second NHL season, scored his very first hat trick. Three goals on home ice at the United Center. Some Hawks fans will recall that and say he actually scored four goals because one of them didn't count. The ref blew the whistle like a half a second before it made it into the goal, so they called it back. But if you saw the game, you may recall how thousands of fans upset at that call threw their hats onto the ice anyway. And it just so happened that was a big hockey plastic helmet, you know, Hawks giveaway night. So they had all these hard hats came raining down on the ice. Fans like were protesting and clinking down on the ice like, hey, we're throwing them anyway. But they managed to clear that out of the way. And wouldn't you know it, the hats came raining down again when Jonathan Toews came back to score yet another goal. This time, an official hat trick. We pulled a clip from that cool moment.
I love to hear Pat Foley. That's great. And finally, we have
a total of seven hat tricks with the Hawks.
Yeah, right. Seven during his time with the Hawks. You have a nice historic animal story to close out for us today, don't you?
This one's kind of fun because let's put ourselves in the perspective of being in Chicago in 1950. The local papers this week were stirring up excitement about a new resident in the Chicago area, Bob, just arriving from South Africa, and everyone was mesmerized. An aardvark. In 1950, it was one of only two aardvarks in the United States. People didn't even know what it was. The other one had just arrived on the East Coast. So this one was going to Brookfield Zoo, and people were lining up to see this exotic creature. The Tribune at the time had an explainer about what an aardvark was, and it was described as an armadillo without armor. And they also explained that aardvark means earth pig in the Tribune, and the diet was covered, too. How's this? Have you eaten your breakfast already, Bob? Mashed bananas,
not yet.
Mint,
no,
butter,
not yet.
Eggs and bone paste. That's what they eat. That's apparently what they liked back then. So,
healthy.
That's your aardvark
healthy
breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Some of that. Not bad. Not bad, but that's it.
Aardvark's on the sevens. I love it. Anna Devlantis, this week in Chicago History. Talk to you again next Wednesday. Thank you.